Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome everybody to the Best People We Know radio show, where you meet celebrities and experts every week that share their success secrets with all of us so that we can be the best person that we were created to be at our successful best. And I am your host, Deb Scott, a certified coach and author of the award-winning book, The Sky is Green, The Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside Down World Right Side Up. And it's always good to be right side up. And our guest today is going to help us do exactly that. And she is amazing. Her name is Dr. Karen Sherman. And she's going to help us with tools today. At the end of this show, you're going to come away with real tools that you can use to help you change, to help you transform those things that you've been struggling with. You're going to get unstuck. You're going to get motivated. You're going to feel awesome. So make sure that you call your friends so that we can share the happiness, because we all help each other. So let me just tell you before I bring Dr. Karen Sherman on a little bit about her. She's amazing. She is a New York State licensed psychologist, and she's been in private practice for over 20 years, so she brings with us a lot of credibility and experience. And Dr. Sherman is now taking her transformational experiences to the public, and that would be us. Dr. Sherman moved into motivational psychology and marriage counseling through transforming her own troubled past. Dr. Sherman has a keen ability to identify core problems, and she has real-life experience to help you manifest transformation in your life. Dr. Sherman provides practical tools that you can use to live your dream. She is workshop leader for the Art of Choice seminars, and she is changing people's lives. Most of us live in a basic state of mindfulness, but when we live mindlessly, it means that we simply function. So what she helps us do is to live our very best so that we're not on automatic pilot anymore, being aware of our abilities to make choices in any given moment, which give us a refreshed sense of empowerment and hope. So without further ado, I will introduce to you Dr. Karen Sherman. Hi, Dr. Sherman. How are you?
Hi, Deb. Please call me Karen. Thank you so much for that lovely introduction.
Well, hey, listen, best people we know get great introductions. I really didn't even give the whole scope of how amazing you are, but we've only got 45 minutes here, so we have to do the best we can. But it's awesome to have you on the show, and thank you for being humble enough to let me call you Karen. I just wanted to introduce you to the listeners and let them know a little bit about who you are and what you're doing, and this art of choice. This is going to help us be the best person that we were created to be. Tell us what that's about. Why is it an art versus a science, and how can we manifest this in our life in practical ways?
Ah, okay, a lot in there. Okay, first of all, I think of it as an art as opposed to a science, because science is precise. It's exact. You can't, like, you know, mess up a whole bunch of variables all at once. But to me, the process of change is really a very individual kind of process. So I can offer people tools that will help them through that process, but I have to have respect for each person's individual process. So that's got to be a very personalized way that you go about doing your own process. And I'm not going to dictate exactly, you know, do this step one, step two, and, you know, exactly how you do it. Because, again, it's got to be your own process. Basically, the whole concept, Deb, in my belief, is that we've learned certain tools when we're kids because we have to survive in our home. And we want the love, from our parents. And so we learn whatever it is that we have to do to get that love from them. So if it works, we just continue to do those things throughout our lives. And what happens is we do them habitually, we do them automatically, and they may not, or often they don't, serve us anymore when we're adults. But because we're so comfortable with them, because we know how to do them, we continue to do them. And so it would behoove us to really look at our lives today and say, are we really happy? Are we really getting what we want? You know, are we really functioning in a way where we're making choices? Or is it really like a default, you know, choice? In other words, things are happening to us just because this is the way we've always done it, and this is the outcome that always comes as a result. So if we want to make a change, and that's really important, then we can. But again, then we have to go through the steps of how you go about making those changes, which I'm glad to talk about with you. I mean, that's why we're here today. But again, it's understanding that we've come to where we are today because we've learned certain things. They're wired into our brain, but there really are ways to rewire our brain and do things differently so that we're not doing things just on automatic pilot, as I call it, based on old emotional reactions. Am I being clear enough about that?
Oh, my gosh, you are just amazing. Hey, you are the doctor. So you're very well articulated. And I think for anybody listening today, I know for me, I just felt so much hope when I was listening to you, because a lot of us have to dump that junk, you know, those garbage thoughts.
Yeah.
I think that's you talk about that. And really giving us hope that the clients that you work with and what you do on a daily basis, your purpose here is helping people transform. And the very fact that you have so many clients that have experienced that transformation,
mm-hmm.
and made those choices and have learned how to do that through your critique and ability to hone in on what the true root of the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love what you do in the sense that you do it specific to the needs of the individual. It's not a cookie cutter,
right.
This one size fits all. I mean, they have a lot of things on a menu for a reason, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're really specializing with each individual person that you work with, and I think that gets them more effective results, which is why you're so successful, you know, talking the world about this art of choice and change.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very inspirational, I think, for all of us. And, you know, I know we only have a short amount of time, but I really wanted to jump in here and give the listeners some opportunities to experience what it's like to work with you. And you do a couple of things that are very unique. You do association writing, free association writing, and visualization. So can you talk about those and what that might be looking like for us and how it will help us?
Okay. Would you mind very much if I talk about those as the end product after getting people through the process of realizing what it is that they want to be working on? Because
sounds great.
Okay, terrific. Okay, so the first thing is, you have to be aware, because you can't make a change if you're not aware of something. So how do you become aware? Well, you have to be self-observant. You have to be self-reflective, which is not so easy to do. You know, you've got to really take a look at yourself. So here's a couple of examples. If you notice that, let's say, everybody's getting invited to parties and you're not, you know, how come? If every time you go out with different guys, it only lasts 2 dates and nobody ever calls you back after the second date, you know?
You're picking all these colorful examples.
Okay. How come?
Yeah.
You know, if you seem to be the person who has problems at work with everybody but nobody else does, you know, how come? So you have to be willing to really look at yourself. Okay. Now, the next piece that I talk about is using your body as a barometer. And here's why. Anytime there's something that is emotionally upsetting, there's always going to be a physical sensation that goes with it. But most of us don't realize that because, especially in Western societies, we are so tuned into learning how to think that most of us are cut off at the necks. And so we're missing this wealth of information which is in our bodies. So there is a way to learn to really start recognizing what your body feels like when it's tight or tense. It's basically learning how to relax your muscles, seeing what it feels like to have your body be totally relaxed, and then noticing when your body's not. But if you pick up that your body is tight or tense, then you sort of say, hey, you know, what's going on? What am I feeling? Is there an emotion that's attached to this sensation? And if there is, and okay, here's where this is what I would do with a typical client. Client walks in, tells me a story that has upset them. Now, I'm going to deviate for 1 second. There is something that's called an implicit memory. An implicit memory is something that has happened to you in the past, but you can't really remember it. It's affecting you, but you can't really get the details or hold on to something that has happened. So, for instance, if I say to you, you know, for those listeners who are old enough to remember this, where were you the day President Kennedy was shot and what happened? You could remember that very graphically. As a more recent example, where were you the day that the Twin Towers went down? You could recall that specifically. But you might not recall, like, what was going on for you when your younger brother or sister was born, because you were probably very young. But that doesn't mean that there wasn't a lot of feelings or memories that went with it. But yet that's in your body. That's stored in your body. Mm-hmm. So if there's a situation that's happening today that somehow triggers the same kind of feelings that you had when mommy and daddy brought home baby sister, you're going to react to it in the same kind of way. Let's say that day you wanted attention and they basically ignored you, or at least you felt like you were ignored. Now you get into a situation where you have that same kind of feeling, and all of a sudden you have what I call an implicit memory reaction, except you don't know it's an implicit memory reaction. And here's what that reaction looks like. It is immediate. It is intense. And if the person who technically upset you tries to explain that no harm was meant, you can't let it go. They apologize. Oh, I didn't mean to disrespect you. I was just, you know, responding to my kid at that moment. You know, my child was called me and I needed to, respond to them. But you never pay attention to me. You really, you know, you never give me the time of day and you're always paying attention to somebody else. And you can't let it go. It's generally because it's really triggering something from your past. So, client comes in, tells me this story. And what I will now say is, okay, as you're telling me this story, can you feel it in your body? Oh, yeah, I really get that. Okay, where in your body do you feel it? Oh, maybe it's in my stomach area. Okay, good. On a scale of 1 to 10, tell me what number you would give that feeling that you have as you're telling me the story that just happened, 10 being the worst. And if they tell me that it's, you know, maybe a 5 or 6. I said, do me a favor. Can you intensify that feeling? And I want to have it at least at a 7 or 8. Okay, I got it. Okay, I want you to erase the situation that just happened with your friend and just concentrate on that bodily sensation. And try to remember back as far as you can to when you had the same sensation. Take it back as far as you possibly can. And most of the time, Deb, they can bring it back to a much, much earlier time. Oh, gee.
Unbelievable.
You know, yeah. It reminds me of, like, when I was young. And I always felt like mommy gave so much more attention to my sister, my baby sister, than me. And then what happens is, while this energy is activated, and this is what's really significant, this is the core of the whole thing. again, I'm deviating in order to explain this to the audience. When you go for traditional talk therapy, what happens is you're gaining insight, you're gaining awareness, and that's terrific, but it doesn't hold when you get to the outside world. Because when you get into real situations and something like what I just explained happens, your body is reacting. The old memories are reacting. Your insights aren't enough because there is bodily energy that has been stored around these early unresolved issues. Now notice, we're not talking about any major abuse here. We're talking about something that's very everyday, commonplace kinds of occurrences. Mommy didn't pay enough attention to me because my younger sibling was there. But yet,
yeah, you're just talking about living, the business of living, which we all experience.
Exactly.
These types of things.
Exactly.
With. Yeah.
Okay. So we go back to this old feeling. The energy is now back there. And what I have the person do, now we're talking to visualization. We're back to your original question. I have the person visualize. The brain cannot make the distinction between reality and visualization. I have the person visualize themselves at that age, whatever age it is, let's say 4. Express. I use the word express rather than talk because the expression of these feelings can be in verbiage, in, you know, talking, in acting out, in gestures, in facial expressions, even through osmosis. They express to themselves as they are now in the adult form, because the adult is rational and logical, and the adult is substituting as the unconditionally loving parent. We're reparenting whatever they want to express. They let out what they never had a chance to express to mommy or daddy when they were little. Because as a kid, remember, you want love. You're not going to express to mommy and daddy, I hate you, you don't love me, you're giving all the attention to my little sister. You know, whatever they needed to express. And in the visualization, the adult you is listening, giving full attention, accepting it, and at the end, I will always say, okay, now have the adult bend down eye to eye, because it's behind the eyes that is the frontal cortex, which is where you make attachment, and just thank the little self for expressing what has been expressed, not trying to explain it, not try to get them to understand, just thanking them, telling them, I love you. It's totally okay, I love you, I accept you, and then having them end the visualization in whatever way the small self, the little you, will feel good. And it's in that ending that the rewiring takes place, all of this with the energy having come up. Because what's happening is, and research has shown this, when you break, when you interrupt that old patterning, that old energy with a new ending, you are rewiring the brain. Now, there are variations on this visualization, and that's where the customization, the non-cookie cutter, as you said, sometimes the small self is expressing it to mommy. Sometimes the adult self goes over and tells mommy, you had no right to do this, you know, whatever. There's variations. That's, you know, what the little self needs. But what's happening is you're going back to where the little self was injured or emotionally wounded, and you are then giving the little self what was needed back then. Because if hypothetically, and I tell this to my clients, I could get your mommy, and I purposely say mommy back in here, and explain all this to her. And if hypothetically she would say, I'm so sorry, I really didn't mean to do that, blah, 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 it would feel good in the moment, but it's still not going to heal that early wound because it's the stored up energy. So you've got to go back into that energy and allow it to be expressed and healed internally. And that's how the healing takes place.
Unbelievable.
Okay, now.
Unbelievable.
What I want your listeners to know is this is not a quick fix. This has to be done over time. But when it is done over and over again, and the visualizations may change, it does go away. I had, and I talk about this in my book, I had a very, very difficult past. I learned these tools from a very gifted therapist. It was what helped me out of a very horrible experience. I then used it with my clients, saw that it worked, and then felt I needed to let other people outside my office know about this. But I can now talk about my past. You can't change the facts. The facts are the facts. But I can talk about it without any emotional energy coming up about it.
Yeah.
So I'm not reactive anymore.
You're not reactive anymore. And that is where the actual change in feeling better is experienced. And
yes,
that's when, you know, the past doesn't own us, and we're
that's
able
correct.
To live in the present. And as you said, be mindful.
That's correct.
And be fully alive.
Correct.
Because we don't have all this clutter blocking the wind. You know, it's like the dirty windshield. You can't see out of it clearly because, you know, you've got all this stuff that's distorting your vision. So,
you know what, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Deb.
No. I'm just, it gets so excited. So, no, go ahead. I'm just thinking about, you know, how many people you've helped and how many more people need this and how important a tool and a message this is, because people are not being the best version of themselves when they have all that clutter and distorted thinking.
Yeah.
And without, you know, somebody to help them on the journey, it can be very frustrating. And that's where people can feel stuck and hopeless. And what you're offering us today is that gift of hope that it is possible to rewire and to be emotionally free from that pain and sorrow.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what it's like? I love your metaphor about the dirty windshield. What I will often say is, and clients, and I feel this way, you know, when I would experience, and clients will report it, these reactions happen so quickly that it really feels like you're possessed. And you can't stop them. It's really like not your fault. Now, of course, once I start working with people, I will say to them, I educate them, and I say, look, this is not your fault that this is happening. Of course, once you know about it, it is your responsibility to start working with it. But it almost feels like you're drowning in the ocean, and you're trying to see through it, and you're trying to get up and gasp for air, but you can't. So what happens is when these emotional reactions take over, you really don't have the ability to think clearly about what are your different possibilities and choices. You are only going to make the choice you've always made because you don't even have the possibility of considering other choices.
This is so powerful. This is so powerful, Karen, because I think so. What you just said to me is the key unlocking the door, because I believe a lot of the people I've spoken to, and I think it's natural, there's something that makes that little voice in our head that makes us think there's something wrong with us, that we can't fix it. There's something wrong inside of me that I can't, you know, get that oxygen and make the situation better. And all I can think of is, hey, there's no shame in needing some help, because even the best surgeon in the world can't do surgery on himself,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no shame in saying, hey, this is just something that is a natural consequence of the experience, but you can unlearn it, you can rewire it. It's just going to take a little bit of guidance and practice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is really extraordinary for anybody that feels as if there's no hope. I can never feel differently. You know, I'm always going to be in this, as you gave the example, stuck with the work situation and feeling this way at the office, or I'm going to get divorced and then marry the same person again, you know,
right.
Just going to
exactly.
repeat the bad patterns.
Exactly.
You know, do you think that people probably feel an immediate immediate inspiration of relief, but you know, it could take some people how long, months or weeks, or is there just a variation in how long you need to work with a person depending upon the emotion and the history?
Yeah, it depends. It depends on, you know, how much stuff there is from the past. It depends on how hungry the person is to want to work. You know, it varies. I'm not going to lie. It varies. I mean, I'm working with one client now who her rational self knows that the relationship that she's involved in is absolutely not serving her, that when she gets caught up in it, she feels awful. She has the tools. We work it all the time, and yet she keeps getting caught up. You know, and I... You know, I just say to her, look, you know, it's very seductive. Your emotions are, you know, really seductive, and we just have to keep working. You just have to keep reminding yourself that this relationship that you're involved with really is not him. It's about still trying to get your mother's approval. And if you can try to separate that this is not really about him and that you're just replaying the script from your mom, that may help you to say, hey, I really don't want to keep going back here. But, you know, look, things take a long time. I remember myself years ago when I saw a nutritionist, and I used to love eating meat. I loved it. I was brought up on meat. We ate meat 5-6 times, you know, a week. And my nutritionist said to me that meat was really not good for me. And I remember her saying to me, one day, you're going to stop eating meat when you realize how much better you feel not eating it. And I couldn't imagine such a thing. And you know what, Deb? I don't eat meat anymore. I do once in a while because I enjoy a good steak, but only once in a while because I don't feel good when I eat too much meat. So I no longer...
Yeah, there has to be a motivation.
That's right. That's right. You know, so you have to decide, do I want to keep feeling this lousy? But you see, it's really hard to make change because there's something that the other side has. The other side, there's two things. You know how to do it, and it's hard to make change. It's comfortable being where you are.
Yeah, and it's also difficult to stay where you are sometimes. I mean, that can be just as miserable, you know, if you're not getting the payoff you want and feeling all sorts of, you know, junk and negative, heavy feelings. You know, that's not pleasant. So the alternative of going through the effort of change may be the lesser of the two evils. You know, if you're going to have to work, might as well get a payoff in the end. Just like you were saying about the meat, you know, you feel better not eating it now. But until you enjoy that benefit, what you're saying to the listeners is, you know, you might have to just intellectually persevere, knowing
right.
that eventually the feeling will catch up with your mind.
Yeah. You know, it's almost like, I hate to quote a commercial, but like Nike says, just do it. But again, you know, emotionally, it's really hard. You know, one of my clients called it therapy purgatory. You know, okay, you leave what's known, but I don't see the light yet, you know. So,
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. How does I have to ask, because now your book, it goes through all of these things, so people can get that on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. I have the link in the chat room to be able to get it, and also from your website, Dr. KarenSherman.com. But how does this automatic or free association writing, how does that fit into helping us rewire our mind?
Okay. Sometimes when there's like a whole bunch of, you know, emotional stress that you're feeling, what one can do to help first relieve some of that emotional tension that you're feeling is to write as fast as you can. Now, the reason you want to write as fast as you can is because you want to bypass your thinking. We don't want your thoughts. We want your emotions. So if you just keep writing as fast as you can, and if you get to a point where nothing more is coming out, you still don't want to stop and think. So you want to continue writing by just saying, I don't know what to write, I don't know what to write, until more stuff purges. It serves two purposes. Number one, it's actually releasing the emotional energy. And again, remember, this is about letting the energy out so it's not stored in your body. If it's not stored in your body, then you're not going to react. The second thing is that for many people, once they read what they've written, it might actually give them a greater awareness of where some of the issues are that they didn't know. And then that might be a doorway for them to actually use to visualize with.
Unbelievable. I bet that you probably have loads of examples of people that were just shocked at what they wrote.
Yeah, yeah. And again, it's a very helpful tool when you need to just get stuff out. You know, it's like, it's not advantageous if you've got to go into a meeting and be at your best and somebody just said something that set you off. You know, you don't
right.
You know, so if you take 5 minutes and do this writing, you clear yourself.
Unbelievable. And I think that when we can actually grab onto a tool or an exercise so that we're doing something rather than just festering,
mm-hmm.
You know, that right there is like having medicine in the cabinet. I mean, just knowing that, you know, for anybody listening, having these new exercises, these new ideas is healing, just knowing that there's something that you can grab onto when those emotions start to explode and you're feeling like, you know, the volcano's going off and it's just too much and it gets overwhelming at times. So, you know, this is something that anybody can use at any time during the day. I mean, you can use it tonight if something triggers you, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then in the book you talk about this as well, so that it's almost like a guide to help you through the exercises successfully. Is that not correct?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the process. And then, of course, you have to adjust it accordingly for your personal needs.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, there's just so much to explore in this work. And, you know, so many insights that, you know, we might not have considered to help us, you know, break that autopilot pattern. And really, you know, allow ourselves, because we are worth the effort, to be the best person we were created to be. And when we have all these things, you know, that this luggage, these chains that we're carrying around, we can't be our best. And, you know, people want to live their dreams. I think it's a natural goal for all of us to want to be happy and purposeful and peaceful and feel love and give love. And, you know, the transformation, I'm sure, is exponential for clients that have really broken some of these past feelings that are, you know, inhibiting them from really doing things that they probably can't even imagine they're capable of doing.
Well, sure. I mean, if you're constantly reacting to things, you're not present. You're not here. So you're missing out on a whole bunch of joy, of satisfaction, of really, you know, taking in each moment and, you know, you know, just taking a drive and enjoying the change of the leaves in the part of the country that I live in. Or if I'm playing with my grandchildren and I'm really, like, upset about something, I'm not really being with my grandchildren and enjoying them. I'm distracted and thinking about something else. So,
yeah,
you know, I can't really have the joy that I have in my life if I'm either worried about something I did, or I'm concerned about something that's coming, or I'm reacting to something somebody said to me. You're not present. But if you can clear that emotionality, you know, clear the negative thoughts, then you have the ability to be in the moment.
Mm. And, you know, really, so many things that we get worried about, they never happen, or if they do happen,
right,
they're not as bad, really.
Right.
And, you know, and I don't know about you or the listeners, but, you know, I don't get younger every day. I tend to get a little bit older. And,
really,
you know, I just
Deb?
I had my birthday. I tell you,
What's up with that? Who invented that age thing anyway? It's like, stop that. I don't want to do that anymore, you know? How much Estee Lauder eye cream can I get now? Yeah, you know, life is not going to happen forever. I mean, I have, it's a horrible thing to share, but, you know, everybody experiences it at one point, but I have a wake to go to tonight and a funeral to go to tomorrow with a neighbor who, you know, 65 years old, baking gingerbread for her catering service, and she is in perfect health, or appeared to be, and was on the phone with somebody and had a heart attack right on the phone. And, you know, 65 is young.
Yeah.
You know, today. I mean, to me anyway.
Yeah,
it's getting younger every day. And, you know, I think that when we really get that wake-up call, you know, whatever it is in our life that triggers us to say, wait a minute, you know, I'm not going to be here forever, and I want to live before I die. And unfortunately, sometimes it takes tragedy or suffering or a lot of pain, or like you said, you know, people just are in, you know, finding that they keep attracting the same bad stuff, the same bad energy, and it's like, what, is it me or is it everybody else? Because this just seems to be happening too much to me, but not to anybody else. You know, those are indicators to catalyze the desire for change. And I love what you said about the first step just being awareness, because awareness is so powerful, and that really has to happen before anything else, you know, can be, you know, you can't begin anything else without awareness and that desire to want to change. So probably for a lot of the listeners who are here, they've already come to that point of, I want to feel better, and I want to learn how. And these examples that you've given us are going to, you know, teach us how to do that. And also, we can connect with you direct through your website. And I was wondering if you could make sure that information, before we get too close to the end of the show, because we've only got a few more minutes. Can you believe it?
Where did
that go? See, time,
right.
I'm telling you, it's the age thing again.
Okay. So that information is www.drkarenshereman.com. Okay? I wanted to say something about change. People have to realize that change is not a constant upward process. It's a spiral. So it goes up, and then it slips down a little bit, and then it goes up again, and then it slips down a little bit. And I think that it's real important for people to have that proper expectation and perception, because if you think that it's going to constantly go upward, when you have your slip, because there will be slips along the way or backward movement, if you then say, oh, see, I thought I was doing okay, and now I'm not, it might make you feel so badly that you're going to give it up. And if you know that there are going to be, you know, some backward steps, and just learn from those experiences as well, then you're still on the road to moving upward. So I just wanted to say that about the change process.
And, you know, all I could think of when you said that was an ocean and the shoreline and the waves and the tide coming up at high tide and then going out at low tide and then coming up at high tide and then going up at low tide. And we don't look at the ocean and say, oh, there's something wrong with it because it's at high tide, or it's not doing its job because it's at low tide. It's part of the process that both should occur complementary to one another.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
You know, setting those... Is that good? Is that good?
I love
Are
it.
We
Can
good?
I use it? Can I use it?
Hey, always recycle happiness. That would be my motto. Definitely recycle happiness. You know, because I think that is an obstacle for a lot of people. And I know,
you know, sometimes I get frustrated with myself too, because I want success to be, you know, a success only journey, and that's not reality and that's not real life. And setting up unrealistic expectations is only going to be premeditated resentments and, you know, and toxic emotions. So you work with people and give them a clear expectation that this is going to happen in the process of healing,
yes,
and changing, but don't be surprised. Don't think that there's something wrong with you because, or you're not making great progress because it happens.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which is a very compassionate, you know, which is, I think, why you need somebody to help you with this. It gets back to the theory you can't do surgery on yourself. It really is ideal to have you there guiding, you know, guiding someone. I mean, the book is great. I think it's great, but I think, you know, being in a workshop or working with you by phone or meeting with you, you know, is really going to be more effective because, you know, the support is going to be able to keep you going in the forward momentum. I mean, I know you work with a lot of different people in a lot of different ways, but you know, that's got to be great to be with you in person. Now, you have some workshops coming up, speaking of that. Nice segue. did you want to share? Little segue there.
Well,
I'm
doing a lot of radio and TV, and I'm not going to be specific yet, but I'm hoping that that's going to be opening up some avenues. Right now, to be very honest, because I'm always honest, I don't have any workshops that I'm offering. If somebody asks me to come do a workshop, I'm very glad to do that. But I am just doing so many other things as far as, you know, my writing and my teaching and my grandchildren. I got to make sure this time for my grandchildren that I have not set up any workshops specifically. But as I said, if somebody comes and says, would you do a workshop for us, I would be glad to do that. I'm really hoping to do a lot more of the media stuff because I think that that's a way for me to reach really a lot of people. And I want people to know that this is really possible in their lives.
Yeah, and so many people that have helped, and I think word of mouth and just the media is great, and I know that some of those things, we're going to send the good energy for some of those things to manifest for you because, you know, I've just had, I mean, it's just been amazing talking with you here in the show, and I'm sure it is for a lot of people listening and the people that are replaying the downloads. You know, I would highly recommend that you listen to this a number of times so that you can get it wired into your brain, and that will help you get that platform, be a good springboard. I mean, I think recycling these mind vitamins is imperative, and it's one of the things I love about Blog Talk Radio and media. You know, you can download them, you can put them in MP3, you know, you can listen to them while you're at the gym or going for a walk, and really think about it, because every time you listen, you might, you know, you're going to hear something new, and something might come up for you and prompt you to address a new area or say, oh, I didn't think about that, which is terrific. So I would highly encourage people to replay this and send links to, because sharing is caring. With just a couple minutes left, was there any other message that you wanted to leave with the audience? Because we only have 90 seconds left.
Oh, my goodness, 90 seconds? Okay. Basically, I know that for a lot of people, going back and dealing with emotions feels scary, but if you allow yourself to honor your emotions, to dance with your emotions, they do transform. And everybody deserves to have a good life, and if you choose to do it, you can also.
Fantastic. I mean, that gives us a lot of hope. And the fact that you have all these people that you've helped that are on the other side and living their best life now, you know, it is possible. And it's not your fault if you didn't learn the language. It's not your fault. There's nothing wrong with you. But once
Absolutely.
You get these tools that you can use, you'll be off and running. And remember, airplanes take off to start flying against the wind, not with it. So sometimes the adversity is exactly what you need to be able to get rid of get rid of the stuff that's not serving you well anymore, and you're worth the effort. So, Dr. Karen, I hope you're going to come back and share some more tips and tools with us because we need them. We need this.
Thank you so much.
And you're amazing. And I want to invite everybody on Thursday to the Best People We Know show, where we have Colleen Lopez coming on from HSN, and more good stuff, tools you can use. God bless, and have a beautiful day, because you're worth the effort. Bye now.